In a world where information is bought and sold on the public market, these youngsters are forging their way in the new world. Coming this summer from United Artists, a movie so edgy and speaking to the youth of America, starring a guy from England.
Bueller. Bueller.
In a world where the economic and environmental world is at stake, these youngsters, who are all conservatively 30-something, will be treading lightly as they get around Fisher Stevens not being totally racist and banging what looks like his mom in Lorraine Bracco.
Henry's out of town. You can stay here for a little while.
It's not the net. It is hackers.
Hack the planet!
That's when I'm under pressure now. The question always comes back to me, what were they thinking now? Whoa, what were they thinking? What were they thinking?
What were they thinking now?
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me.
We could be talking about Goldmember. I mean, that one's not the best of the bunch.
I have a weird affection for it. I hated it in theaters, and then for some reason I liked it on DVD.
Oh, it's because you could pause and zoom on the bulge stuff that they were doing?
Yeah, Beyonce. What?
Yeah, that's it.
This is the What Were They Thinking podcast. I'm Brendan.
And I'm Nathan.
And every week on the show, if you're just joining us for the first time, well, welcome. But we always talk about bad to questionable movies, and we've got one this week for you as we continue our summer flopbuster series. This is a film that did not do so well at the box office. But Nathan, what is the movie we're talking about this week?
We are talking about the 1995... apparently loathed at the box office, but loved on video by every teen that I knew at that time. Hackers, starring Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie and Fisher Stevens and Penn Jillette and Lorraine Bracco and Matthew Lillard and Linoli and
Baby
just everybody.
And we are joined by an elite, you might say. Somebody who has elite. Sure.
Elite.
I don't know hacker speak. This is going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of this. We're joined by elite. Somebody has chipped their way into our internet lines. That's what it's called, right? Ladies and gentlemen, making his way back to the podcast from Glen Falls, New York, Jason McLeod.
I don't even know how I got into Glen Falls, but I literally just got back. It was quite Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. This is a long time, a long-term promise to you, Jason.
Well, I told you many, many moons ago that if you ever did venture to watch Hackers, that I claimed a spot on this episode because this is a seminal movie in multiple different senses in my life, and I'm happy to talk about it.
Notably, this is a movie you know that we could not avoid. So basically, you invited yourself, Jason.
It's perfectly fine because I am thoroughly enthralled by this movie. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably in the same camp as Jason here, that this movie had a big part of my cinematic upbringing in the 90s.
Well, this movie, folks, cost $20 million to make.
Oh, I used every bit of it so wisely. So yeah. Wisely.
It's all on the screen, baby.
It is. Look at that cast.
In 1995.
You know, and they saved some bucks by, you know, not giving Fisher Stevens the makeup job.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was actually, it's a little known fact. That was actually $5 million of Short Circuit 2's budget.
Wow. They just wanted it to look that good, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Part of it was also to pay off all the protesters.
Right. He's talking about protesters. They didn't give a shit about protesters when Short Circuit 2 was made.
Well, no, they did. They just paid them. This movie, however, box office, does anyone know how much this movie made?
Oh, Christ. It couldn't have been more than 165 grand.
13 million.
You're both off by quite a bit. 7.5 million.
Oh, okay.
Almost in the middle. Nathan?
Yes?
What's this movie about?
Well, hackers. It's pretty self-evident in the title. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all for tonight.
I'll give you a quick breakdown of something of the plot. It's a movie about a young hacker played by Johnny Lee Miller, sounding an awful lot like Matthew Broderick while trying to cover up his British accent. And he has run afoul of the law when he was younger as Zero Cool, and is now Crash Override. Now that he's turned 18, he's allowed to own a computer again. So what does he immediately start doing? Well, of course, the thing that got him in trouble in the first place. By doing that, he meets all kinds of new friends in the hacker / raver underground community, which I didn't realize there was an overlap with that. And they proceed to get embroiled in some industrial espionage or industrial embezzlement by Fisher Stevens and Lorraine Bracco. And so, of course, they have to defend themselves and clear their good names. Hilarity ensues.
And I just want to say right off the bat, I don't want to touch on it too much, but we could do an entire podcast just on the fashion of hackers.
Oh, man, it's wonderful, isn't it?
So I will say this fairly spot on for kids who were trying to be fashion plates at the time.
So yeah. Many vests.
Yeah. A lot of vests. A lot of like racing jackets. Kind of leathery, you know, they got a lot of like redefinition on them. It's very cyberpunk is a word that's going to come up quite a bit when I'm talking today, for sure. It's got a real look to it, and I appreciate it. It's very colorful.
A lot of buckles, a lot of straps.
Yep. That in an early scene where they're in the high school, Angelina Jolie, I thought she was wearing overalls until I realized she's wearing just this really low slung backpack that's like hanging almost down to her ankles. It looked really uncomfortable, honestly.
In fact, the fashion I think is so funny. At one point, somebody remarks about someone else's fashion, and I'm like, no one should be throwing rocks from glass houses in this movie.
I've met a lot of ravers when I was in university, and I don't feel that any of them could have hacked a planet at all.
No.
they were super interested in doing MDMA.
Yes,
but not hacking a planet.
Well, can we just get the elephant out of the room here? So, are you guys familiar with what hackers actually do?
I mean,
depending on you know what their they black hat or white hat or what have you.
But the process of hacking involves plopping your ass down in front of a computer, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, dumb terminal, and sitting there and staring at a screen of text and telnet as you dig around trying to figure out a way to get into a system. Now, in all fairness, not a real exciting thing to shoot.
No,
but that doesn't fucking matter in this movie because they figured out a way to make it all look great.
Yeah. What happened to the computer? What happened to the computer realism of Criminal? That's what I wanted here.
We don't need that. See, we instead of having a guy sitting in his room staring at a computer screen in the dark, we have hot Johnny Lee Miller and super hot Angelina Jolie standing in a phone booth with a fucking camera doing a 360 while thumping 90s electronic dance music plays. That's how you shoot a fucking hacking scene, my friends.
Well, Nathan, guide us through this magical journey. After we see Leo the Lion, how does this thing get started?
We open on Seattle, 1988, in an FBI raid for an 11-year-old.
Yeah, it's so much so that I mean it's been a while since I've seen this, and
it's been a while
since I've seen Hackers, and I was like, wait, how does this movie start? And when we find out it's a small child, I was like, oh, that's a lot of FBI agents.
Record scratch.
Now, you want to know a little bit of history? That is that incident is sort of based on at least a couple guys. One of them would be Kevin Mitnick, who was a famous hacker in the late 80s and early 90s, who was on the run from the FBI for quite a time and then ended up going to jail.
And then started working for them
because that's what you do. And wrote a book about it, which is a fascinating book. I highly recommend anyone, called The Art of Social Engineering.
Well, if Catch Me If You Can has taught me anything, as soon as you start working for them, you're the good guy.
That's right. But the other guy that apparently that this movie could have been based on, and I wasn't aware of this, and maybe it isn't, but it sounds really familiar, is you remember MySpace? Remember Tom? Yes. Everybody's friend Tom? Tom from MySpace, when he was like 12 or 13, him and a group of his friends were hacking into like a national bank or something and fucking around in the back end of the network. And they got into a ton of shit, and the FBI, I think, got involved in everything. So that was like his early exposure to computers. But I don't know if this was
begs is, did they send a full-fledged federal SWAT team to arrest him as he was 11?
That's a fascinating question. I should really look that up. That would be nice to know. But it does seem like a bit of overkill. But what I do appreciate about this movie is that this movie was made in 1995, and maybe this was before the police were militarized, because these guys coming in, like when they're all rushing into a given scene, it's not like a military squad coming in like you would see in modern media of like police coming in and they're like, they're low and they're all, you know, in a line and they're stacking up against the door. No, these guys are running in like fucking Keystone Cops, just with their guns in their fucking hands and trundling along with their bellies hanging out like, oh, we got the guns, we're going to get the kid. At least that's how I saw it.
And I do appreciate that Felicity Huffman was the prosecutor. I thought that was funny in light of recent events.
they bust this little kid for hacking into different Wall Street systems and causing some, you know, horrendous economic crash. And, of course, as they're talking about the crimes, they're panning through the courtroom, as Felicity is talking about his crimes, they pan through it. Of course, it's like grown up. All we see is just a little Bart Simpson spikes. And it's like, if this was made with Don doing the voiceover for like the actual trailer, this is where the record scratch would have happened.
He's just a kid.
The only problem is he's 11. Wow, I feel good.
Kid hacker.
Kid hacker. Oh my god. Yes. Spinoff.
That's our 90s theme project is Kid Hacker, because if it wasn't made, it deserves to be made.
Coming this fall on Fox.
Kid hacker. He's a kid and a hacker. Kid hacker.
Kid hacker. The guy who writes our titles has been fired.
He's stealing millions of dollars at night, but also having girl problems at school.
Hey, Julie, would you like to go to the dance with me this Friday?
Oh, no, you're a nerd.
Okay, that's fair. I guess I'll just send Pizza Hut to everyone tonight.
He gets convicted of his crimes. $45,000 his parents have to pay, and he's on probation until he's 18. He can't own a touch tone phone or a computer or anything like that.
And they don't want him freaking, which is the phone equivalent of hacking, where you get into the phone system and fuck around. They don't even want him to have that possibility. They want him just off the net. He's off fucking line.
And my note here is, well, that won't make him resentful when he turns 18.
7 years later.
What are you doing? What are you doing, dear? I'm shutting down a TV network. God.
He invents Netflix. He fucking invents Netflix in this movie, and nobody's talking about it.
he kind of does. At the very least, he does everyone a favor by taking off that alt-right guy on the television.
Oh, that was...
They also invented the alt-right. This fucking movie was responsible for Netflix and the alt-right.
So, yeah, he's watching, like, Breitbart TV.
Well, it would have been at the time, because it was 3:45 in the morning. Mm. That would have been paid programming.
Okay, you know what? That's where it belongs. Put it on paid programming at 4:00 a.m. We don't need that shit in prime time.
They have to pay the station to fucking put it on. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Interesting tidbit, because it's a tidbit that's interesting.
Because it's an interesting tidbit.
That's right. I remember back in the day that WWF TV on Global and whatnot was sometimes paid programming.
Really? Wow. Yep. Yep. They really wanted to get it on there.
We got
to
get that maritime crowd.
Well, get it. Take over that Grand Prix territory.
That's right.
But Nathan, he tries to take over the TV station and change it to the Outer Limits so he can watch it. But what problems does he run into?
Well, his BLT drive went AWOL, and he has a meeting with Mr. Suzuki in the morning. If he doesn't have those spreadsheets done just right, he's going to have to commit Harry Carey. So
baseball announcer, yes.
Yeah. So he poses as one Edward Vedder. And from accounting, to get the modem number from the security guy at the TV station, and this is where he takes off the dude who's the alt-right guy who the name of his show America First.
I said when I saw that I said I think almost that title exists today with a guy very similar.
Yeah, probably.
It's like One American News or something.
Can I also, yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's fucking OANN for sure. Can I also point out, though, and this has to be pointed out, when he calls this guy and he starts asking about the BLT drive and all that, this is one of the few, like, absolutely accurate depictions of how hacking works in this movie, because this is a guy using what I said earlier, social engineering. He is pretending to be able – he's basically pretending to have the tone of somebody who works for the company. He's trying to use language that the guy understands, maybe insider jargon, because he wants to get some information out of him. And when he says to him, do you know much about computers? And he says, no, then he knows that he can just say, oh, this BLT drive, I need this and blah, 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 and just kind of confuse him and then say, oh, by the way, what's the modem number? It's on the box. That's the thing he needs. And he gets that number and then he's good to go. And the guy doesn't know that he's just breached his own security. So props to hackers.
Well, some props to this movie anyways, because there are things like that, the dumpster diving and the shoulder surfing that they do later in the movie, which are all legitimate things. However, it's overshined by this veneer of we need to make this look flashy. So let's make our computer network look like cityscapes. Oh, and the GUI on all of these things, size 14 font. So you can see everything and flames and skulls and animations. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's prescient.
Speaking of animation and skulls and flames and everything, doesn't he's while he's hacking the TV network, he runs afoul of Acid Burn.
Yes.
Badass handle.
The dumbest reveal ever later that it's Angelina Jolie. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Obviously.
Like, did we wait, was I already not supposed to know that? But yeah, she's like, and it leads to a hilarious tug of war between like the video, the video cassette,
they keep switching the show out.
Yeah.
Like he put one show on, she'd take it off and put another one on. He'd take one out, take hers out, put it on, back and forth.
It's basically like they're fucking but through this computer.
Kind of. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's foreplay.
Yeah, exactly.
The just their exchange made my eyes roll right out of my head. And then of course he delivers his his tagline or his call line that he uses a couple more times in the movie. Mess with the best, die like the rest.
We used to say that when I was in like junior high school. That was something we thought was cool to say because of this fucking movie.
he does get his connection terminated, and then when he gets up in the morning, his mom is like, "Turn off the dang dial-up connection." Everybody is Napoleon Dynamite in this movie. I think
that'd be an interesting way to approach a remake of it.
John Heater in every role.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, guys, he needs work. Let's throw him a bone here.
he gets scale for every role, but he has like 15 roles.
It's like, hey, well, you ask Eddie Murphy. That adds up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
His mom's trying to talk to him, and he's not really listening, and she has a sarcastic phone call with herself, where she's like, yeah, he's in there using his computer all night. Well, I suppose you're right. He could be playing with himself. You do like girls, don't you, Dade? Yes, Mom. And I'm still a virgin.
I just haven't found any girls as charming as you.
That when he said that, I was like, Jesus, he is trying to sound like Matthew Broderick here. Oh, something I'm fierce.
And the rest of the movie, Jeffrey Jones is chasing him to get his passwords back.
Well, let's hope that's the only reason why Jeffrey Jones is chasing him.
Yeah, it makes that movie real weird to watch again.
Well, really anything he's in, I suppose.
This is where she figures out that he hooked the computer up to the phone, which makes her rather upset because he just got off of probation and just turned 18. So now he's allowed to own his computer and his touchtone phones. But before they get to really have it out, he heads off to school. My goodness, I wish my school was as well-funded as that in the 90s.
Yeah, it was a nice school.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice.
I will say that, and I mean, this is where we meet Angelina Jolie, who introduces herself as Kate.
Here's the thing, guys. She's Kate because Kate is a relatable name. Kate is the name of the girl next door. Angelina is the name of somebody famous. Even when she wasn't, that's like a famous sounding name. But Kate sounds attainable, and that's what they were going for.
There you go.
Angelina Jolie, by the way, you mentioned that a lot of the people are not teenagers. She is legitimately like 19 in this movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Very young.
So, but 19 though, right?
Yes. Why? Well, yeah. Pervness.
I'm justified in my feelings then. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But she like helps him out. And then when he sees like her mouth, it like cuts to like weird stock footage of like people kissing and shit.
And man, that was the thing that I was hoping that they didn't stick with that at all.
Oh, but the one they do later was kind of upsetting.
Well, they have a couple of different times where he sees her and he imagines, you know, like you said, stock footage or old clips from movies or TV and stuff like that. I was hoping that was going to be like a thing that was going throughout the movie when he encounters people and he it shows us what he kind of really thinks of them through the, you know, his TV addled brain. And then he has to put on a veneer where he's sort of nice to them.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're just sort of describing the dead zone.
It was fun that the school had a bank of payphones, which right there lets you know that this movie is chipped out of a block of ice.
High school had banks of payphones, not that size, like banks of two payphones, but there was multiple spots around the high school where these banks of two payphones were.
But guys, I mean, we can agree that Dade, Johnny Lee Miller, is a bit of a dope because he falls for one of the oldest tricks in the book, the old Olympic size pool on the roof of the school trick.
Now, was that something you heard in high school?
Jason, I can count on two hands the amount of times I've fallen for this trick.
you just keep going up to the roof and it's always a surprise.
That was just a bunch of nerds being like, don't close that door. Oh, damn it. We're all locked up here now.
I need to know, guys, does anybody ever in their life remember having access to the roof of their school?
Exactly. No fucking way.
Oh, when, yeah.
Where? How?
So before you even suggest a pool was on top of the school. Yeah, exactly. Nobody could go to the roof. If you were a student, you were not going to the roof of the school. If you were a teacher. If you were a teacher, you were probably not going to the roof of the fucking school.
No, maintenance people went to the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had said, hey, I fucked the maintenance guy. Here's the key. Maybe.
Then that's a whole different movie right there.
Maintenance Man starring Angelina Jolie.
The hacking becomes very secondary to everything else that's going on with the lawsuit and the criminal charges.
The rest of the movie is just a courtroom drama. Yeah. But he when he goes up there and like it starts to rain or whatever, the scene I was talking about is later he's walking through the hall, he sees Angelina Jolie again, and it cuts to like the stock footage of like a guy like choking out a woman.
Well, yeah, because he wants to murder her now because she tricked him.
So mad. Like, he got so wet up there when it rained. God.
Yeah. So wet. Hey, Sally Can't Dance is in this movie.
Rinoli, yeah.
Yeah. He's the Phantom Freak, man.
Yes, in fact, when we passed the bank of payphones, he was on the phone with Venezuela and made it a point. Hey, man, keep it down. I'm on the phone with Venezuela. just a throwaway line. Like, he could have just explained to him later, like, yo, I'm the Phantom Freak. You know, the king of 9X.
Yeah.
for all you kids out there, Ninex was the was a telecom company in the late 80s and mid 90s. Were eventually, I think now they are probably Comcast.
And his buddy is little 14-year-old chain smoking Jesse Bradford.
Dude. I need a handle. Dude.
What did I tell you about saying dude, man?
You say that dude one more time, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
Yeah,
okay, so guys, if you're just tuning in now, we're just reading the script.
Yep.
There's so many quotable lines, though. Come on.
This movie is full of wonderful lines. Well, shit on me. That was one recently that I have written down that was a fun one.
Well, so after
I actually originally first heard that in the movie The Crow. Gideon says it in the pawn shop scene.
Wow.
When Eric's beating him
so
up.
So I wonder if this movie was referencing The Crow then.
What's a possibility?
Yeah.
The year after, maybe.
Tintin is in it. It's the same bad guy. He's a good guy in this movie, though.
Nathan, I have a question for you, though.
What's that?
So after we meet Phantom Freak and baby Jesse Bradford.
Yep.
Baby Bradford is what I'll call him for the rest of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Matthew Lillard shows up, and how would you describe his look?
Hippie long stocking.
What I loved was that when I first saw Johnny on screen and he's hacking, he's got these like small hacker glasses on. I thought, oh sweet, he's got the fucking small 90s hacker glasses. Look at his style. And then Matthew Lillard shows up on the screen. It's like, oh dude, he's got even smaller hacker glasses. Fuck yeah.
He's got super small hacker glasses. He's got pigtail braid things going on. Yeah. And just it smiles and having a great time. So I would describe him as hippie longstocking.
This is the movie that got him Shaggy. There's no question.
By the way, he's selling one of the greatest compilations of all time, the Asphyxiated on Their Own Vomit CD.
I think he calls it the greatest Zooks.
And he's selling them at this like random night market that was like sprung up. Is this supposed to be like a black market where they're selling bootleg CDs and shit?
It's the rave club thing that they go to, which first thought was the lair of the Foot Clan from the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Absolutely. Oh my god! I was expecting somebody to offer cigarettes. You want regular or menthol?
You mean Sam Rockwell to offer cigarettes?
Yes, Sam Rockwell. He's
why wasn't Sam Rockwell in this movie?
Oh, he would have been great in this.
But it. Oh my god, this like rave slash arcade slash skate park slash hacker empire is insane.
It's weird because watching this back, now for him, the way he talks to Angelina Jolie a few times in this movie is just like, wow, that's no kid who's looking for some play is going to talk to her the way he talks to her. He's like, pretty good for a girl.
But he's also a hacker, right? He's socially maladjusted, so one it seems to track that he wouldn't know how to talk to a lady, even if he might be interested in her.
That's fair. Were they playing Wipeout?
They were okay. So here's the fact: this is not a real game, but it was made by Psygnosis, the people who made Wipeout. So okay. I bet that is using assets from Wipeout, but I'm pretty sure that was a pre-rendered cutscene representing gameplay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So he does beat her high score, though.
Oh yeah.
And we figure out that she has like a boyfriend kind of who's the most nondescript character in this movie.
Yes.
He's just very much in the background. And the only scenes we see him in are basically when he's making out with Angelina Jolie. And what I'm trying to say is, how did I not get this part?
And but they point that directly out because
you were what, 10 conservatively at the time?
Yeah, dog.
He points that out, though, at one point. He says, or Johnny points over to her, or points over to the dude and goes, what does he do? And the other dude goes, well, you're looking at it.
Yeah, he just looks slick all day.
Yep.
I think that was an unscripted moment where Johnny Lee Miller was literally like, wait, what's the point of this character?
Yeah, why is this guy here?
So he beats her high score, and then Rinoli is like, wow, you just made it enemy for life. Okay, I got a quick question here. Did you ever get the sense that Rinoli and like baby Bradford were supposed to be like together?
See, I don't know because it's not, I don't think so.
No.
Unless baby Bradford is bi. So the bi baby Bradford could be, Because
Bradford, yes.
Unless he's just not willing to admit something to his mom, because later when we see his room, he's got girls on like the wall, like posters of like swimwear models and whatnot. However, Rowling does call him Boy Meets World, so
that was a good reference.
Yeah. I don't know. They seem close, and then they just seemed a little closer because he's always like, come on, let's go, let's get out of here. And I'm like, oh, are they supposed to be? I mean, it's cool. Rinoli's character comes off a little like, I don't know, like metrosexual maybe. And I got the idea that like, oh, maybe they're an item, and I just never picked up on this.
I didn't necessarily get that. They might have just known each other like their whole lives too. So
in the remake, they will definitely be a couple.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Let's do this.
We'll make it happen.
Evan Hart is Rinoli.
Dwayne Johnson is Joey.
Or we could just do it. I'm done. That's cast.
They're not. Well, if they're going to be in it, the plot is changing completely. Now they're the main characters.
No. I want a scene where the Rock is going, dude. And Kevin Hart goes, man, you say dude one more time, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
So are you going to tell that to $7 Productions? Because I'm not. So at this point where Johnny Lee Miller hacks the school to make the sprinklers go off.
Yes.
Yes.
And I wrote down that if you want to look like you're the guilty party, come prepared with an umbrella.
I thought that exact same thing. Jesus. Yeah, exactly. It's like, who's going to... It's like, yeah, obviously, you had the foreknowledge, you asshole. Also, the security in that system is fucking bad. The idea that he could just get into the system and then just have access to that test system, like, it's... that there's just, like, a convenient menu to be like, oh, just test all the sprinklers and set them off. Like, you'd think there'd be a little more security. But then again, it was 1995, so I guess people didn't even think about that. So it's more realistic than I give it credit for.
I take it all back. Genius.
I take it all back. I'm an asshole.
They're talking at one point with Joey, and the bunch of them are actually all kind of trading their hacking stories, and it sounded like a bunch of jock guys talking about the chicks they banged.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joey, by the way, I got to point out, Joey is double fisting cigarettes. He's got a cigarette in each fucking hand.
Now, Jason, when you say Joey, you're talking about Baby Bradford.
Baby Jesse Radford for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're actually talking about the most popular passwords.
Oh my god.
And they were like God and sex and all this. And I'm just thinking none of those would pass any muster whatsoever. Now you're not at least 8 characters long. There's no special characters in it. There's no numbers in it.
I can assure you from experience that back then those would have been acceptable passwords, because I used to have an ICQ account, and the password that I used for a long time was just FF7.
Oh, there was I can remember back in the day, getting lists of passwords, and there was things on there like, you know, password 1, like, yeah. Legit.
That's the most common password is fucking password.
Yeah, I think password. Yeah, when they say like love, secret, sex, and God, I'm like, no, the most common one's definitely like password and like pass 1 2 3 4.
Oh no, the password and pass 1 2 3 4 and all that. Those were all, middle America and stuff like that. People who thought they knew about computers, or felt they were comfortable around computers, knew not to use those. But they would use sex and love and all that sort of stuff. I remember one time there was ones where I would get where the password was QWERTY.
Oh yeah.
Just the first string of words on the keyboard.
When I was in grade 5, we had a teacher who would set up a password on our Apple computers, because Apple used to have a restrictive OS called At Ease that you would load into, and you could only access certain programs, but you needed a password to get to just to the desktop so you can install shit. And the guy's name was Fred, and so his password was Fred. And if you look at a keyboard, Fred is literally a square on the board, F-R-E-D.
Mm-hmm. And listen, I hope this doesn't get my identity stolen, but I think I've had the same password or some variation of the same password for like 20 years.
So you should probably change that.
I would recommend,
immediately before this.
When I say variation, I mean numbers and symbols and shit. I don't think anyone's gonna crack it. I put it to you, the listeners. Please don't try.
I feel like a challenge has been issued. That's what it sounds like. That's right, to me.
Guys. Penn Jillette is in this movie.
Yes.
He's working in the internet.
Playing the character Hal.
Teller, I don't think we should do this trick, Teller.
I love at one point, he calls him on the phone and he goes, we got a problem with the net.
And then he's like, wait, your DVD isn't working? Like, what's going on?
Call Carl Reiner. He's got extra.
Yeah, Carl Reiner's just got extra copies of The Net just sitting around his house.
He does, because he fucking loved that movie. He tweeted about that movie so much. I don't know if you heard that, but
Is this legit?
If he was doing a bit, it's one of the longest running Twitter bits, because for like 8 years, he is like a few times a year tweeted about how The Net was like one of his favorite movies.
That's amazing. Well, coming soon. So,
who does old Penn Jillette call, or Hal calls the plague?
The plague.
Eugene. Who, for some twisted reason, insists on having professionals in his life call him by his hacker handle.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that, because it just reminded me of like a bothered teen that's like, my name's not Eugene, it's the plague. Yeah.
See, because of the foundational nature of this movie in my psyche, like my default like view of what a douchebag looks like defaults to Fisher Stevens in this movie. This is the ultimate douchebag with the fucking chin strap beard and the long black coat, and the fact that he fucking casually skateboards around. And we'll talk about the fucking limo thing later. We're getting
Don't
there,
forget but, about the shitty ponytail with the bald spot showing.
Oh, it's so awful.
And the horrible hair dye.
Yes, that's just jet black.
not a shade of detail on that. Just all black hair.
Just a fucking void in his face.
And while they're having problems with the net, we get what appears to be a miniature set that was constructed just so they could represent the network as like a cityscape.
No CG in this movie, my friends. Every bit of it is practical.
They have the file names etched in, and they light up so you can see what file old baby Bradford is downloading, because he's the one who's hacked into their net.
And he copies the garbage file because he's like, this won't do anything. It's just a garbage file.
Just to prove he was there. It's like a trophy. Hackers do that sort of shit, right?
But the thing is, the garbage file may contain more than we knew.
Oh. Right. Oh. What a twist.
But I think we go back to the hackers at this point, where they're greeted at the door by Emperor Palpatine.
Just before that, I just wanted to make a quick note of what Fisher Stevens does when he comes in. Like you said, Jason, he just kind of skates into the room with his skateboard.
Yep.
Pops the skateboard up like he's going to hold it or place it somewhere, and just tosses it back down.
Yeah,
it was the most ridiculous bit of busy business I've seen in a movie in a long time.
And I like the contrast of it, because you have the plague in his douchebag coat and everything, and he's on a skateboard. But then you've got the hero of the movie, Johnny, who's dressed much more colorfully, and he, throughout most of the movie, improbably, is on rollerblades.
Yes.
Like, rollerblades. There's no reason for him to be on rollerblades. He, like, rolls up to something to fucking hack something. It's like, really, we're just leaving them on now, are we?
Listen, Jason, rollerblades in, skateboards out.
That's right. The 90s, things were changing.
Well, the times, they are changing.
but this is where, what's that dude's name? He's dressed like Emperor Palpatine when
it's
the hackers
Lord Nikon. And as we had mentioned earlier about the Crow, he was Tintin in The Crow.
But they watch their favorite TV show, because it's like a TV show that gets hacked into the network with the hosts Blade and Razor. And it's called, what is it called?
Razor and Blade.
What is it called?
Hack the planet.
That's right. And they teach them how to hack a payphone. And I'm like, you know what, guys? This is awesome, because I love that I know this now, because I'm going to use this in my day-to-day life. It's going to be great for the future. I'm never going to have to pay for a phone call again. Guys, I'm living on Easy Street.
Are you going to tell him, or am I going to tell him, Nathan?
Well, I mean, if he can find a payphone, he'll be doing all right, won't he?
All right, well, let him find out on his own.
He won't pay for all those calls he's not making.
Living on Easy Street.
What I love about that scene is that that actually did used to work, I think, at one time.
Yeah,
obviously, it hasn't worked in probably 25 years. But even then, I don't know that it actually still worked. But like, it explains, because earlier we see the scene of him on the phone because he says, "I'm calling Venezuela," right? And he has the tape recorder out. He plays the tones and then he calls it.
Well, when I remember back in like the early 90s, one of the malls down here, they got new payphones, and I was at the mall and I had to call my parents to come pick me up because it was time for me to go home. And I picked up the phone and I heard the dial tone. I put the coin in, and what used to be just like a brief pause to show that the phone had taken in the change, there was like this beep bloop. Like, the fuck was that? And then it happened, like, anytime I'd use those phones again, that would happen. I was like, oh, that's weird. And then years later, when I saw this movie, I was like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Oh, I could have been having free phone calls all this time. Damn it.
I never thought that doing it into, like, playing the tone into the into the speaker part or into the mouthpiece of the telephone that would do that. So.
And yet it would, because that's how that shit worked. That's how they activated anything, was all audio tones, right? So that's how a lot of that early phone phreaking, I think, worked. You had like one of those blue boxes that the famous Captain Crunch, who I believe is a pedophile, so let's not talk too glowingly about him, but he built these
cereal mascot.
Yeah.
Brendan, the cereal mascot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I always knew there was something off about him.
But he built these like phone boxes called blue boxes, and you could plug into phone lines, and using them, you could make all the tones you needed to like access the network and access back ends and voicemail boxes and shit like that. And that was hacking before computers. And that's basically what that is an extension of. And it's so fascinating to me because it doesn't exist anymore, because we're all online, baby. We're all online.
Yeah. Can't believe he got involved with the cereal business. Thank God we have Serial Killer, played by Matthew Lillard.
Yes.
Another fun fact, I'll point out his name. His real name, as he points out,
is thing.
It's a fun mean, fact. It's a fact.
I think he's an interesting tidbit.
I think he means. Oh, an interesting
I'm sorry. I forgot. I have to use your trademark term if you guys are going to get paid. I have a tidbit that is interesting.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting tidbit.
It is a tidbit that is interesting, and that excellent. Tidbit is that Emmanuel Goldstein, which is his real name, his handle is Serial Killer, but his real name is Emmanuel Goldstein, is a double reference, my friends, because it is a reference to 1984. There's a character in that book by George Orwell named Emmanuel Goldstein, but it is also a reference to the editor of the long existing hacker magazine 2600. I don't know what the guy's real name is, but that is his hacker name, is Emmanuel Goldstein, and I follow him on Twitter.
There is some fun, nods and whatnot to better things in this movie all throughout. Well, I feel watching it now. I was like, oh, hey, that's fun. Oh, that's neat. In 1995, I did not get a single one of those goddamn things.
No, they were deep references that have only appreciated with age.
Exactly.
Well, and guys, this is where we get the main crux of the plot here, because the Plague is having his investors meeting with while the Japanese investors are looking on from monitors, which I thought was a funny detail. They're just kind of like stoic and staring and watching. And he says, like, there's a virus in the computer system.
Before that happened, actually, Joey gets arrested.
Yes.
Baby Bradford gets arrested because I have a note here about his super awesome Star Trek the Animated Series towel. Because he has one. And this is actually this is the part where we see the time traveling report. Because previously, as you said, we went to Lord Nikon's place and they're watching a news program where they're interviewing the FBI head agent who's investigating these hackers, and he's giving an interview to a lady basically saying what the scourge of these hackers are and how they wreck systems and whatnot. And then we flash forward to Joey getting arrested, and he gives the exact same interview. Much so that if you run it back, you can actually see them taking Joey down the stairs before he gets arrested.
Yeah. Oh, Officer Bunk.
Yeah. And now we move on to the my name is not Eugene, it's the Plague, in front of board members.
Yep. And he's like, he's basically like, there's a virus that's gonna capsize all these ships.
Oh, what was the name of the virus?
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci. And what was that a play on, Jason? I know you're getting it.
First name Leonardo.
Well, nope. Yeah, I know Da Vinci, but it was probably playing on another old virus, was it?
The Michelangelo virus.
Michelangelo virus. There you go. Yep. But of course, he uses Da Vinci's man, or what is that drawing called? Of the dude?
Jim Morrison. It's Jim Morrison. It's Leonardo da Vinci's Jim Morrison. That's what it's called.
Jim Morrison being stretched on a rack.
The Michelangelo virus only affected like Domino's and like Pizza Hut, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's all it was, Brandon. I did find it funny where they talk about this virus and how the way it's going to work is when it goes off or when it takes over, it's going to flood the ballasts of these ocean tankers full of oil and capsize them, thus creating this huge environmental disaster. And someone says something to the effect that these systems are completely automated, there's no way to override it, and I call 100% bullshit on that. 1000% bullshit on that.
Can we not switch to manual? No, not anymore.
Yeah,
like they would still have people on the boats. Even today, we don't have fully automated oil tankers. And even if we did, yeah, there would be a way to take manual control. We can't.
But I wonder though, if that's just like the movie's way of showing that these guys are out of touch and the plague is like, no, you can't do it. It's totally all automatic.
I think it's more a testament to how stupid the general public is in regards to tech at this time that they can claim that, oh, yeah, there's no way that we can undo it, when a person with even an ounce of technical knowledge would be like, no, you absolutely can, you idiot.
But it's like, it happened all the time in movies where they would just explain away something, some plot point where something just couldn't be done because of this thing. And you're like, that's horseshit.
Yeah.
ever seen the movie Pleasantville?
Yes, I love that movie.
At one point, they say you can't turn it off without the remote. It's a new TV. It's like, no, that's not a thing.
I mean, you can plug. I mean, you just unplug it. Fuck.
Yep.
But we quickly learn that the plague is maybe not the smartest villain because he openly and loudly talks about how this virus is his own doing with Lorraine Bracco, not 20 feet outside of the meeting room.
Yeah.
And how they're going to use this to get like $25 million from the company. And they've got to put the blame on these hacker kids so they can get away with their money.
And they show the FBI guys tearing through old Joey's stuff. He's got all this computer stuff, and for some reason, a power glove.
Yeah, of course he does. What I found funny was, so before he gets arrested, he has a dream about getting arrested, right?
That was really weird.
That was a weird little kind of fake out. But in the dream, and maybe this is just a testament to his head at the time, but in the dream, he realizes the police are coming in, and the very first thing he does, rather than trying to run or erase his computer, is he starts ripping up a bunch of printer paper of shit he had printed off. What did he print off in his mind that he needed to rip up the printer paper? That's what I want to know. What kind of evil stuff was on that paper?
We'll have to at Baby Bradford on Twitter.
.matrixpornography.
If they would just do an 8K transfer, maybe we could see.
Yeah,
but what I do like is that after they arrest him and they have like the FBI agents waiting outside, one of them is like, suspect
Mark Anthony.
Is still,
yes, is it Mark Anthony.
Yeah, but he says, but he says, and this is one of my favorite lines in the movie. He says, "Suspect is still grounded by his mother."
Yeah,
as if like, yeah, dude. What do you think? Like, his mailman was gonna ground him? Like,
suspect is grounded by his boss from Taco Bell.
Yeah, like, he says it so condescendingly. I'm like, yeah, usually it's one of the parents that does it.
But I think it's that general, like, it's hammering home that general vibe of like old versus young, that there's a little bit of there, of like these young kids that are fighting the system and the olds that run everything. It's like, oh, he's a dumb kid, he got grounded by his mommy.
Someone gives Fisher Stevens like a file, and he utters the phrase, ugh, hard copy. Like, this movie is just so ridiculous with the way people react to things. It's just out of this world.
But the plague does make his way over to Dade, aka Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes.
And he says, hackers are their own country.
Yes, yes, they are.
Hackers are a foreign country. It's different there.
Yeah, they're all their own country where there's no friendships. There's just what do you say? Sometimes there are alliances, temporary alliances.
I just want to pause for 1 second because Jason just quoted the fucking go-between.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it. And the few people that's watched it in the last 30 years, I'm happy to do it.
Obscure 1970 British film. All right. Anyway, continue.
Johnny Lee Miller, after this, has a weird sex dream about Angelina Jolie and then possibly getting arrested.
Pause it. Pause it right there. Right. Oh, pause it right there. Right there. Oh, yeah, sweet.
That was the spot in my videotape that had some tracking issues, I assure you. I mean, guys, I have to point out, I mentioned it earlier, this is in a seminal movie in my life. I mean, this movie was part of my sexual awakening. Angelina Jolie is one of my early crushes in my life. And yeah, this scene specifically was important.
Jack A. from 227.
I thought it was weird. Like, looking back on it, I'm like, why did she not wear a bra in that scene? It was kind of strange. Like, did she not think the camera caught it? Or maybe, because there is a scene later where she clearly mouths fuck, but you hear screw. Yeah. I wonder if that was supposed to be a more, like, a longer shot originally.
Well, there's a possibility.
It looks like they had an R at first.
Or maybe, I'm thinking they sacrificed that one because Johnny Lee Miller drops an F-bomb later, too.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. I missed it. Where was it?
He's talking about... Someone threatens him with going to prison or something like that, and he was like, "Fucked if I care." So I think the next scene is that they're actually back at the school, and Johnny Lee Miller has hacked his way into advanced English, mm-hmm. And they're displaying their favorite quotes. Of course.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second, Nathan? I just need to point out, so when he hacks into the system to put himself in the class, we can see clearly that each student, for some reason, has a professionally done headshot in very low resolution.
Right.
Because, like, Angelina Jolie's headshot is, like, her, like, looking back over her shoulder with long hair, so I think they literally must have taken their acting headshots and digitized them for this scene.
And, of course, she has the quote from her mother, which lets you know that she is a feminist. That's who she is, hardcore feminist, just like her mom.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, about this scene, so we also have to point this out too. What is happening in this class? What are they doing? This makes no sense. I've done a lot of classes in my life. I've been to a lot of, like, school and stuff, and never once have I had a class like this where we have three people standing in front of a chalkboard writing independently quotes from works, I guess, just random works or poetry, and then the teacher is standing in the back being like, okay, all right, okay, yeah, those are some good quotes. But what are they doing? What is the point of it?
Jason,
so that we can find out that Emmanuel Goldstein is not in that class, because
he's
he's an Ozzy Osbourne fan.
American History 101.
X. And then, of course, to drive home the fact that she's a feminist, we go to, I believe, a party.
Yes. Before this party, we do see a scene where the plague goes into Johnny Lee Miller's house. We mentioned it briefly, but he does tell him basically, like, You better help me out, or I'm gonna, like, fuck up your family, essentially.
That's right. And he goes, blow me, and he looks at him and smiles and goes, thank you.
Yeah. Classic dialogue.
Did we talk about the baseball bat part?
Yeah, he smashes up his stereo with a baseball bat.
I thought that was so funny. Like, this guy coming in his douchebag look, like, trying to be a badass, and he's got the baseball bat, and he's literally pulling the, wow, you've got a nice place here, it'd be a shame if something were to happen to it, and then breaking it up like a fucking asshole. Trying to be such a badass.
At this party you mentioned, Nathan, Matthew Lillard does have a line here that I wrote down, because it's another one of those lines that kind of perked my ears up. He sees a girl walking past him, and he says, look at that pooper.
To which he also adds, spandex, it's a privilege, not a right, which lets you know that, okay, not only is Angelina Jolie in this, her character is a staunch egalitarian feminist, her friends are total pigs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, every single one of them.
It was in the 90s. You know, it's like you would say you know theoretically you would believe in something, but you also were a shithead on the side. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they go into her room, right, and try using her laptop.
Yeah, which is a big violation of privacy.
There's a fun flashing back and forth here because Joey, or Baby Bradford, as we are affectionately knowing him as, is now he can't hang out with them.
Right.
He can't associate with his degenerate hacker computer friends. So he has to go to Internet Addicts Anonymous or something.
Yes.
And I think it's the General Addicts Anonymous, but he's there specifically for the internet. Yeah.
I was wondering. Are there meetings where it's just like, well, if you've got an addiction, whatever it is, we'll put you in here. I mean, I would think you want it to be more specialized, but maybe there are. Maybe that's how you get filtered to a specialized.
I don't know. I'm just judging it based on the people in the room with them. I don't think they were all internet addicts.
No.
Well, you know what? I will say this. The internet, when it kind of hit publicly, it blew up. And yes, a lot of folks who would have looked like an awful lot of the folks in that room became quite addicted to it because it was TV, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? They were replacing one box with another, but because it was a computer and it was interactive, they didn't feel like they were wasting their time. In reality, they were just wasting their time on internet message boards.
Well, you think about it back then, like when we think of internet addiction in the modern era, we think about it in terms of either, you know, grandma on Facebook, or we think of it in terms of somebody playing World of Warcraft 16 hours a day. But back at this time, like the mid 90s, when the internet was taking off, like people would get addicted to chat lines and shit, or, you know, would spend 6 hours just talking to random people across the world, or playing
IRC
zone. Yeah, Merc, going on Merc and talking to people and fucking pirating software and all the good times. Fun memories.
Trading stuff through ICQ.
Actually, my ICQ, I had a custom setup, boys. I had a custom setup with fucking Army of Darkness sounds, so that when somebody would come online, it would go, "Yo, she bitch, let's go." Or somebody would send me a message and it would go groovy, and then somebody would leave and it would be like, "Shop smart, shop S smart." It was the best. And we need to go back to those times, because boys, those times were better. Things were better.
Jason,
you guys need to vote for Donald Trump, because he'll take us back to the Merc days.
Nobody.
No!
There wasn't even cable internet at the time. Most people were on dial-up.
Exactly.
I mean,
it was wonderful.
All of the pornography was of low resolution quality.
You wanted to jerk off, you had to be dedicated to that.
Wait, Jason, are you saying that, like, when he says make America great again, he's just talking about internet connections?
Exactly. We need to go back to Web 1.0. That is the only way society will. We have to get rid of Twitter, and we have to go back to GeoCities.
And get a stack of AOL CDs.
That's right. I am ready to go. I've got 15,000 of them in storage. I knew this day was going to come.
Jesus Christ. So they go on Angelina Jolie's laptop.
While that's happening, she bursts into the room with her boyfriend. They start trying to do it.
Yeah, but then when she sees them, she gets very mad, but then she pauses and she's like, "Yeah, my laptop's pretty sweet, isn't it?"
So this scene contains one of the things that works against this movie, and that is any reference to modern technologies. So when they go up to her computer, they're like, "Oh, look at this laptop. It's got a 28.8 modem and an active matrix display. Wow." And I mean, a 28.8 modem, you know, was in 1995, that was pretty fast, but now that's insane. Even if you were using a modem now, you would have to use a 56K modem, you know.
I also did laugh at her saying, "Yeah, I want to triple my RAM." And then she starts typing, and I'm like, "Wait, is the movie trying to tell me that she's tripling her RAM by typing?"
She's downloading some RAM.
And apparently the screen is so bright that it projects the image onto Johnny Lee Miller's face.
Yes.
Yes.
This comes up throughout the movie because these screens are so bright and they react, because at one point when Johnny is hacking and he gets shut out of the system, we see a bright flash in his face as if the laptop had exploded. And that kicked him out of the system. I assume it shut the computer off. It kicked him out so hard.
I guess.
But this is where the bed is made, right?
Yes, this is where they do make their bet.
Mm-hmm. She's like, if I win, you become my slave. And she's like, no, 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 that doesn't mean we're going to fuck.
She's a feminist, you know?
Yeah, and then if you win, I'll do anything. And the weirdest thing is, and I know he mentions it later and not in this scene, but like clearly he has a thing for her, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And when he says, like, if I win, we go on a date, because I think, like, obviously he wants to eventually date her and be with her. It's weird that he's like, but you got to wear a dress and look like a conventional girl.
Well, I feel that it was written just for what follows him saying that, because they go on this pranking spree with old Agent Gill.
Oh, bunk.
And what's that?
Oh, I was just saying bunk from The Wire.
Brendan and I independently both had the same thought that this is actually a prequel when Bunk was in the Secret Service and working against hackers, but then he got a demotion after this whole thing and got sent to fucking Baltimore to deal with drugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. They start pranking him by giving him, like, you know, false arrests, DUIs. They give out his office number for online, like, you know, the sex personals. And then eventually they finally just, like, you have him declared dead. So after all of their pranking back and forth, which for some reason they need to go to the top of, like, the Chrysler building to do one of the hacks, which made no sense to me. I don't understand why that was a thing. But
equally making no sense was, I want to see their scoring system breakdown.
Yeah, give me that rubric. I want to see the math in play. Because
they're like, yeah, it looks like it's a tie, 60 to 60. And I'm like, what's a point considered?
So they go into a sudden death type of a situation where they say that, you know, he says that, if I win, you have to wear a dress on our date. And to which she replies, if I win, so do you. So I'm like, you know what? He just won. Win-win. He's clearly getting a date regardless.
It is indicative, I think, of his maybe lack of social skills, that rather than risk the possibility that he asks her out on a date and she says no, he gets this situation where the date is on the line based on his own performance rather than based on just her decision. She's forced into it, right? Because it's the bet. She's got to make good on the bet.
Yeah.
But and after this, apparently the plague has so much disposable income that he just sends Data a free laptop.
Yeah. And somehow manages to rig it so that when he opens the laptop, it plays this video. Now, my question is, if Dade, for whatever reason, decides he wants to keep using this laptop, which honestly I wouldn't, but every time he opens that laptop, does it play that video? Does he have to watch that video every single time? Can he skip it? Or can he, like,
No. It's like
the hardware.
It's built into the Windows startup. He has to watch that every time.
Every single time he gets that same message. Ugh.
God. He's like, God damn it, I just want to watch the last episode of Girls.
In real media in like 160 by 100 resolution, and it took him all night to download it.
Yeah.
God damn right. He might have it downloaded by the morning. Let's cross our fingers.
Well, I'm hoping I'll sleep in just in case.
Message is like to warn him or whatever, or to tell him, like, what is the message essentially? Like,
you need to get on board with what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah, because he's gonna turn his mom into basically like a crackhead ex-con and have her arrested.
Mm-hmm. We go to the park with Rinoli and Baby Bradford, where they're having their discussion, where he brings him a copy of the garbage file that he downloaded. To which this all leads a big chase with Mark Anthony and the other FBI agent who doesn't get a name.
Bald white guy.
This scene made me laugh so hard because the FBI agents are like hiding kind of on the bench. And it turns out when they get up and start chasing him that the woman sitting in the middle like wasn't connected to them at all. And I'm just like, just imagine being that woman. And two guys just sit on either side of you and they're like secretly recording someone behind them. You're like, can I just read my book?
So they end up catching Rinoli. and they gets, you know, incarcerated. And the cop tells him, you get this one phone call and that's it. Another thing that's just a movie thing, apparently. Yeah.
But Rinoli gets tells them what's going on, and Angelina Jolie is like, yo, Dade, can you make a copy of this disc? And he finally agrees to do it, but we find out that he's going to give the disc to Fisher Stevens because he doesn't want his mom to get fucking thrown in jail.
Quick which question. Leads
to the most hilarious moment in this movie.
All right, go for that. Tell me. I don't know.
Well, Johnny Lee Miller gets the disc and he goes to meet Plague, which it appears that he waits for him for approximately 3 hours.
Yes.
And then the Plague shows up in a limo. No, he's skateboarding outside of the limo while holding onto the door, comes by, yanks the disc out of his hand, and just goes right along with the limo again.
The best thing about is the look on Johnny Lee Miller's face.
Yeah.
It says, this guy is such an asshole.
I think Johnny's as confused as as the audience are looking at this going, why in the hell is he doing this? Makes no sense. This is such a stupid thing to do, but he's doing it because he wants to swing his dick around, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so next we got this hacking montage and an explanation as to what this worm does. In that it nibbles data or coinage from different transactions, and then the data is not actually gone. It's just shuffled around, and then it's supposed to leave. To wit, I noted I really liked it when Office Space did this better.
Yes, and Superman 3
and Superman
did
3
it.
Exactly.
But this was after Superman 3, but before Office Space. So,
clearly, shit. Mike Judge got it right. Third time's the charm.
That's right. Mike Judge saw hackers, thought, "Man, that's a good idea."
Hey, you know what? Mike Judge, you hack.
I've got a flair for this sort of thing.
Hey, Morris is backing off from a tool shed.
So, guys, this brings up a question because, yes, this is the hacker montage where they go to collect material and stuff because they, you know, they want to hack the planet.
Right.
And because they know that Fisher Stevens is, you know, going to corrupt his own company. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, he's going to corrupt his own company and make off with the money and, you know, put the blame on the hackers. But my question, and this is a question that has plagued mankind for years and years. Yeah. See what I did there?
Well, I see but what
it,
you did.
It, people have wondered this atop a mountain. You know, many, many great philosophers have pondered this on many a slab of stone. My question to you gentlemen is, if you were in a dumpster, would you fuck Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What, I don't know why that was even ponderous in your mind.
A lot of these philosophers were around before she was born, so they were confused by the question. So that's why there's a lot of thinking about this. So I thought I would just ask you.
That
gentlemen.
Would have been really especially weird, like after she was born, like John Boyd's hanging out with his like 2-year-old daughter, and they hear this question, and they're like, "Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you, people?"
And he's like, and then John Voight was like, "Well, just give me another 45 years.
You just wait. You just wait, son.
You ain't seen crazy yet. I'm gonna be in Pearl Harbor."
Nope. Wait till I get a Twitter account.
You just wait till I do my movie about a snake. I've been working on it for 25 years.
Wait till I get a Presidential Medal of Freedom and do that horrifying dance that I did.
Oh, John. Hackers. We're kind of overshadowing because we are saying this is just like the hacker montage, but in reality, it's actually them not only doing their hacking thing, getting their gear, but we mentioned earlier, this is where they do a lot of the legitimate social engineering with the shoulder surfing, because the reason why Lord Nikon is called Lord Nikon is because he has a photographic memory. So we see him delivering, flowers to the offices, and he is watching for passwords, things like Kermit, as one of them had. And then, of course... Dade and what's her name? Kate. Dade and Kate. Kate and Dade. Crash and burn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crash and burn.
Baby.
they do some dumpster diving, which again is a legitimate thing where people will jump into dumpsters of corporations to get shredded printouts so they could try to get records and passwords.
I must say I have at least once in my life done that. Justin and our friend Dave, one night we decided to go out and dumpster dive to see if we could find anything cool. And you know what we came home with, boys? Tetanus.
Tetanus, okay.
But in addition to that, we came home with a actually working bill scanner, like a UV light that you could check a bill. But that's the only thing we found of any value.
And for some reason, a Laserdisc copy of the movie Rounders.
Oh, man, I've been so happy. I would have put that on my wall.
So they're doing all this shit. And they go, I think, yeah, Dade and Kate go into, like, the hacker rave because they want to find, we didn't mention these guys, but I guess we kind of briefly mentioned them, but Blade and Razor, the guys who host that, like, hacker TV show, they're, like, trying to recruit them to help them.
Yes. Because they're elite. They're totally elite.
They're elite, yeah.
So you get it right that time, bud.
I'm learning.
There you go.
Well, actually, in this movie, they say elite. Now, I wonder if the genesis of that term is either from before this movie and they appropriated it and then it evolved into, because at the time they say elite, but then eventually it becomes elite and then it becomes 1337 in, numerical representation of that to say that you are elite.
Yes, that, well, that's leet spelled out in leet speak.
Exactly. Mm. So, my curiosity was that if an elite hacker was a term that was from before hackers, or if to hackers this movie is like The Godfather is to the mob, then that term came from this movie. But I'm not sure.
I feel like that's not how that happened.
I really, really hope this movie is like The Godfather to the Mafia.
But it is like The Godfather, like a lot of the ideas that the Mafia took hold of comes from The Godfather. It's like those guys on The Sopranos, they all just grew up watching The Godfather. So that's what they think the mob is supposed to be.
Do you mean like how most of the Mafia are like having heart attacks in orange groves?
Exactly. That's the number one killer of mobsters. Orange Grove heart attacks.
Orange Grove heart attacks is my new punk band.
That's a solid punk band name, actually. Good name. Yeah.
Thank you.
Not going to lie.
Yeah, so they start fucking with the plague system again. We see Penn Jillette again. And this has my single favorite exchange of dialogue because Lorraine Bracco, his character, knows no shit all about computers. Like, she's not supposed to know what's going on. You hear all this, like, jargon of, like...
Oh, my God. She is just so confused every time.
A rabbit is in the administration system.
Send a flu shot.
Rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me.
A rabbit replicates till it overloads a file, then it spreads like cancer.
Cancer?
Like she's confused about the concept of cancer. But then she literally says, cancer, brain, cancer. It's like she's the fucking electric company.
Oh, my God. Okay, and the other one, the other moment like that in this movie, I think it was earlier, but I have to mention it, where the Bunk is talking to the other FBI guy, the nerd FBI guy, and he's like, well, what'd you find? And he goes, well, we have an uncorrupted hard drive. And he goes, give it to me in English. And I'm thinking the guy must be like, I can't. That's as simple as I could possibly make.
Goddamn
it is
simple.
A hard drive, and it is not corrupted. What do you want me to say?
But this is a very they're all using payphones, and they're all using their own laptops, which I love how all their laptops have their own cute little logos.
Oh, yeah, they have their own. Yeah, it's not good enough for them just to have a sign or a handle like most people do on the internet. They got to have their own brand.
So guys, this to me is fucking cool. And in 1995, I thought this was stupid, obviously, because computers don't work like that, or at least they didn't then. But the idea of it was super cool. And you can see it was actually kind of prescient because nowadays with our smartphones and stuff, we all have our own custom wallpaper. We have our own custom like setups for how we want it to look. Now, if I could just have my phone, like when I turn it on, have it like blast out a flame and be like acid burn.
Oh, I thought you were going to say if you could, every time you turn on your phone, it played a video of low resolution Fisher Stevens.
Well,
And you have to watch that, Jason.
You have to watch
every single time to ask you to help him with this.
You want to jump on IMDb and find out what movie what movie Lorraine Bracco was in before Hackers? Sorry, you got to watch Fisher Stevens talk for 10 minutes.
Damn it! If I can make Fisher Stevens my Siri, I think I'd be happy.
Just make sure you pick Fisher Stevens Hackers and not the other Fisher Stevens.
Oh, Short Circuit. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Somebody's like, you know, I know that's just your Siri, but that sounds awfully racist.
You know, in this movie, you could say that Fisher Stevens is in Doucheface.
But at least the when the douchebags complain, we're like, take it.
We don't care.
Whatever, your douchebags.
go have a protest if you think you deserve anything, douchebags.
Douchebags.
Oh, wait, they already did. It's called anti-mask protest. But I don't
want
to. I was going to say, they're very proud boys, and they...
Guys, we are topical as fuck.
Yeah.
It's going to age so well.
Yeah.
No, because in the future, people will be like, hey, you know those anti-maskers? They were actually right the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah, it turns out everybody was being stupid.
Those were the real geniuses. Hackers.
I think we've already passed the part where Dade reveals that he was Zero Cool.
And they're all stoked.
Super stoked. And Lord Nikon said, man, I thought you were black. One of my favorite bits of the movie.
Yeah. And Acid Burn, like, Angelina Jolie is like instantly pretty wet when he says that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's leaked.
By the way, and when they're hacking the plague system and trying to expose him or whatever, it is literal, like, there are literal electric, like, waves going on in the room.
Yeah, like the mainframe is arcing, and I don't think computers are supposed to arc.
No, they are not.
But unfortunately, they get busted just before, seemingly, they can expose him. But, guys, they don't bust serial killer, a.k.a. Matthew Lillard, who watches on...
A.k.a. Manuel Goldstein.
That's right. Who watches on from the crowd as Dade gets arrested and yells...
Hide the planet! Hide the planet!
Shut up and get in the car!
Hide the planet! Yeah! Hide the planet!
We get a shot of him digging through the trash at Grand Central Station.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yes. Or at the very least, has several strains of hepatitis and possibly HIV.
Yeah, he reaches in and grabs that disc, and he's like... Jackpot, gonna go see Blade and Razor.
Mm-hmm.
And they
forget that Blade and Razor helped them organize a hacker army from around the world, because they're trying to defeat the Plague's network, he thinks, these are five kids and we've got them, whatever. All of a sudden, everybody starts attacking the banks, or not the bank, but the oil company system.
Yeah, and they pull like a Green Lantern coming in at the last second.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, does anybody call for a rescue? And they're like, like 20 minutes ago, but that's cool. But they do manage to, so Lillard gets on TV and basically reveals that the Plague has this like Cayman Islands account or something.
Yeah.
Where he's like funneling all the money. We cut to the Plague post-coital with Lorraine Bracco, which was the one of the moments in the movie where I was like, what? I did not see them as a sexual item. Mostly because, like, and I looked it up because I was like, were they that much different in age? And they weren't. But for some reason, they made her look like, I don't know, they made her look older.
She's supposed to look like a successful business lady with the padded shoulder suit.
Yeah.
Pantsuit thing going on.
Yeah, she's a real Gina Davis.
Exactly. Or Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And he is supposed to be, while they are not that far apart in age, he is supposed to be part of the youth culture because he skateboards, has long hair, and is into computer hacking.
Yeah.
But she turns around, she's like, oh no, they said my name on TV, and Plague just books it. He's out of here. But does he make it, guys?
No, because he ducks out and under the guise of one Mr. Babbage.
Yes.
which is a fun computer reference.
Well, Charles Babbage, who attempted to invent the first computer. I don't know if the Babbage machine or the Babbage engine ever actually worked, but he was one of the pioneers in that field.
Yep.
Okay.
So fun fact, or sorry, interesting tidbit.
That's better.
Tidbit that's interesting, yeah.
He gets arrested by Bunk.
Yes.
He does, yes. And then after that, we get to see their date.
Angelina Jolie is in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
There's some beautiful, what do you call it, hacker's sky notes?
I don't know if they did it or if the group did it for them, but as they're having their little date, they look across the Hudson and they can see the lights for some of the buildings have been appropriated by their hacker friends or by them, I don't know. And it says crash and burn, which is really not something that you want to do in New York.
Not now.
Or even then, because, I mean, there was that whole the first bombing of the Trade Center.
Yeah, but that only killed 6 people, and it was a bombing in the basement. Nobody thought anybody was going to hit it with a plane. That would have been fine. Everybody would have been cool, man. Jesus. Relax.
This took a turn.
It always does when Jason's here.
I also got to point out, too, so at the beginning of that scene, when we see them walking up and she's in the dress, I thought, wait, did he lose the bet? Because he's wearing a weird, ridiculous outfit that almost looks like a dress itself.
Yeah, and so they basically, that's their date, and then they go underwater and make out, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's how the movie ends!
Hackers!
They're fucking in the water!
Guys... I don't think we need to go around the horn. I think it's all pretty much this movie is ridiculous and dumb and hilarious, and you should all watch it.
Oh, it is a resounding yes from me.
So here's the thing I got to say about this movie. The last time I watched this movie was quite a while ago, and I've always loved this movie ever since I first saw it. But the last time I watched it, I was not really familiar with the idea of cyberpunk. And since then I've become more interested in that or found out what that is and found out the interest of it. And cyberpunk is often defined as high tech, low life, meaning you're living in a society that is a lot of this high tech that's available and super futuristic, but also it's economically disparate. And often it's from the perspective of characters who are from the lower ends of society who are trying to get by with what they can, even though they're dealing with the oppression of the man being the form of generally in cyberpunk corporations and such. And of course, that's kind of what this movie is, these young kids kind of fighting back against the corporations. And the combination of the look of it, which is very colorful, along with the kind of the costumes and the approach to technology, it is watching this movie now has raised it so much in my mind because I've always had this view of it as just being this kind of stupid movie that is so off the mark as far as how technology works that I thought, you know, it's just a fun thing to watch. But watching it now, it's like, no, this movie's a fucking like a cyberpunk 90s masterpiece in a lot of ways. I mean, maybe masterpiece is strong, but this movie's really fucking fun. And yes. I'm glad that I've been able to kind of categorize it as cyberpunk because it seems to raise it up overall, and I can recommend this as less as a dumb movie, as long as you can kind of avoid the specific 90s technical references. The rest of this movie is just a fucking fun movie that then led to something like Watch Dogs 2. I don't know if you guys have played that game.
I played the first one. I haven't yet to play the second one.
Well, the first one is a dark, dour existence, but the second one is a really fun, upbeat story about a group of people that are a member of a hacking group called DedSec, and it very much has the vibe of this movie.
Well, and with all that being said, let's take a brief break.
What were they thinking?
What Were They Thinking is brought to you by HostGator. HostGator is a leading provider of shared, reseller, VPS, and dedicated hosting solutions. Award-winning support is available 24/7, 365 days a year via phone, email, and live chat. Discover why over 9 million websites trust HostGator. Use the coupon code SCHLUCK for 25% off your first purchase. That's SCHLUCK, SCHLOCK, for 25% off your first purchase.
What Were They Thinking is brought to you today by GameItAll.com. Whether it's video game news, the latest in music, or movie reviews, GameItAll.com is your one-stop shop for all nerdy talk.
What Were They Thinking?
And we're back.
Yes, we are back.
Nathan, it's time for the low haiku.
Yes, the low haiku. 17 perfect syllables to describe a nigh-perfect 90s movie.
So, Jason, would you like to begin?
Yeah, man. I'd like to begin. Here's my haiku.
Okay.
Roll, hackers. Roll on. Teamed up, we'll defeat the plague. And fuck up Penn, too.
Very good. Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Some inspiration from Alabama in there.
Nathan, would you like to read yours?
Yes, yes. Man, thought this was cool. 90s me, easy to please. Does not hold up well.
Very good, very good. And, all right, I'll read my haiku.
Careful, careful. Careful, he's excited.
C:// hacker executable. Logic, sense, backspace.
Ah, very good. Of the three of us, you're the only one to actually use the real lingo. Good on you.
I like a little dot 6.2 too. Thank you.
Yes, that's the program I use for everything.
And including all the editing.
Yeah, I just use DOS. It takes me 17 days to edit an episode. We record these 4 months in advance. Well, you know what, guys? We talked about this movie. We gave our opinions. But what do we always say?
Well, I'm sure that we always say...
Don't take a word for us!
That's right, folks. Don't take our word for it. That's why we go to Rotten Tomatoes to see what the people are saying. And this is one of those movies that has a bit of a disparity here. I feel like some of the audience reviews may be ironic.
I don't think so. I think they're just tainted by rose-colored glasses.
Well, that too. But we have a 33% of the critics gave this a positive review.
Mm-hmm.
And 68% of the audience gave this a positive review.
Yeah.
So let's go into the critics' reviews here. Our first one is from Jay Boyar of the Orlando Sentinel. He says, after the mechanics of the thriller plot start to kick in, the film drags. And when it's time for the big cyber showdown, we're stuck once again with footage of frantic typing.
Stephen Ray from the Philadelphia Inquirer, he took a better view of it. He wrote, Hackers isn't a very good movie, but... it's a damn sight more fun than The Net.
Oh, coming soon.
Yeah, okay. You know, I've never seen it.
No, me. You know what? Me neither. I've seen bits of it, but not enough.
I saw Hackers, and I was like, you know, that's the ultimate computer movie from the 90s. There's nothing that can top it.
Critics review. Maitland McDonough of TV Guide said it was not fresh. It was rotten. And she said, even if you bought DOS for Dummies, there's nothing in Hackers that will stretch your brain.
I like how you read it like a newscaster.
Well, that's the only way I can read things, unfortunately.
That's a sad affliction. Mm. Time Out Magazine says, the sappy ending is hard to take, but the online showdown between the plague, the Secret Service, and the United Worldwide Community of Hackers is nail-biting.
Jonathan Rosenbaum of the Chicago Reader wrote, without any sort of miracle, this engaging and lively exploitation fantasy thriller about computer hackers, anarchistic in spirit, succeeds at just about everything The Net failed to.
And lots of slams on The Net.
Yeah, good reason.
You haven't seen it.
I know.
I got one more for you. This is from Steve Rhodes at Internet Reviews, and Steve, giving 0 out of 4 of his score on the movie, says you leave the theater angry at everyone associated with it for stealing your money and your time with a movie that insults the audience intelligence with complete garbage. Strong words.
Yeah.
All right. I've got one more from Roger Ebert.
Oh, your boy.
Sometimes my boy, this is a fresh review. The movie is well directed, written, and acted, and while it is no doubt true that in real life no hacker could do what the characters in this movie do, it is no doubt equally true that what hackers can do would not make a very entertaining movie. I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, well, like Jason said, it's plunking down and just hammering away over and over and over and over again. So yeah, that would not be entertaining at all. I got one here. Madeline Williams. She wrote, she didn't care for it. She wrote, pseudo cool anti-authority tone, but no substance.
It's definitely style over substance, I would say.
Did you enjoy it better than Antitrust?
I don't remember that movie, so probably.
Okay.
I never did see Antitrust. I always thought I should watch it because it was kind of in this genre. Is that Tim Robbins in that with Ryan Felipe?
Yep. Yeah. I was more a fan of Uncle Trust. Let's go into the audience reviews. We've got our first one here from Wellington M, who gives it 5 stars. He says, I don't know if it's okay to recommend a hacker, but this pro hacker literally saved me when he helped me fix my credit and boost my scores to over 750 plus within 12 working days. If you need help, here you go. Email wisetechhacker@gmail.com or WhatsApp 1-424-283-6238. Listeners, please don't call that number or text that number. He recently helped my friend hack an entire cell phone of someone who was blackmailing him. He offers too many services to mention here.
Good Lord.
Wow.
We do not endorse nor condone their actions.
No, of course not.
Don't do it. Don't fall for the scam, people.
I have an audience review here that was, I'm guessing, was written by both of us without us knowing it, Brendan, because it's by super reviewer Brendan N.
Oh, shit.
And he writes, the film is fun if goofy, but it has cult status with the advanced plot of the era. The music, the actors, and the villain deliver a film that isn't critic friendly but audience friendly. So we wrote that, apparently.
Yeah, we did together before this episode.
Joshua M on December 8th, 2015 wrote 2-star review, says simply, I'm reminded of how painful the 90s were.
Painful? I think he has misspelled the word delightful. Yes. In the most egregious way.
I know, he's terrible.
All right, well, Jessica L also gives this movie 5 stars, and she starts out...
Jessica Lange?
Yeah, well, when you listen to this, I hope not. But Jessica Lange starts off this review as any review of Hackers you would imagine to start out. It starts off with, I and my wife have been married for 2 years with a son. Little did I know that my wife X still texts my wife, and my wife never talked about it. My wife sends her ex nude pictures and also visit him. All of this has been going on, and I never knew about this. But thanks to my best friend who referred to me, wisetechhacker@gmail.com or WhatsApp 1-424-283-6238. This hacker helped me in hacking my wife's phone, and I saw all of this on my wife's deleted text messages. I don't know how to thank this hacker, but if you can see my testimony, I advise you contact this hacker, and I'm very sure you won't regret it.
Poor Jessica Lange.
Wow.
Right? Poor Jessica Lange. American Horror Story money. You should save it.
I guess, yeah. True hacker Jennifer X wrote, she gave it 3 stars, and she wrote, Hackers is hilarious because of the way it portrays the internet. The hacking duels between Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie are at once ridiculous and kind of sexy. A lot of fun.
Kind of sexy indeed.
I have a review here. This is 2.5 stars from one Alan C. And Alan writes, how old is this movie? It has payphone hacking, dial-up modems, cassette tape recorders, and Fisher Stevens is the biggest star of the film, whose cast includes a 19-year-old Angelina Jolie. Up until this point, her biggest credit was Cyborg 2, a sequel to a Jean-Claude Van Damme film where JCVC didn't even appear in the even worse sequel. Even though this film isn't good at all, I do remember thinking at the time, that chick with the short hair is really awesome. When I was a video store clerk, this was a favorite film of mine to put on, not because it was a good movie, but because it had a good soundtrack and wasn't rated R. The film really hasn't gotten any better with age, other than the quaintness of the technology and seeing, capital S, Angelina Jolie in a before they were famous role. The film does have a solid cast that includes Johnny Lee Miller, Jesse Bradford, Matthew Lillard, Lorraine Bracco, Mark Anthony, Penn Jillette, and Felicity Huffman. Overall, it has the quaint early internet charm of, quote, war games, but the film is populated by an irritating group of young people, is ridiculously overdirected, and has just about every young people versus old people film cliche in existence. Still, there's enough good to make the film watchable, but I'm not going to give it any more credit than, quote, watchable.
All right, guys, this is a pretty intense one here. This is from Prompania K, and he gives it 5 stars. Contact wisetechhacker at gmail.com or WhatsApp 1518-749-2846. Help me hack my fiance's phone. Relieved now to know she's just a bitch. After the much trust and love, she was still unfaithful. He helped me with proof this time. She couldn't deny it anymore. He's professional indeed. His name is Phils, a computer engineer. I have used his services before, and he saved me from the lies of my cheating spouse with proof. You should try any type of hack with him. Deals on any type on cyber issue, such as Facebook, Gmail, WhatsApp, Hotmail, Gmail, game, websites, phone, Android, and iPhone, and any other hack related to cyber issues. He sure gave me the best and executed my project with the quickest time frame. He's just a cyber guru. 5 stars.
There you go. I have one here. I think Jason will appreciate it.
All right.
It was written by Kevin B. So obviously Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I'm in everything. Kevin,
I'm
going to
spell this now because it is, and I will translate it after I give everyone a second to get this one out. Okay. B 357 H 4 C K 1 N 6 M0V13-3V3R H4CK7H3PL4N37.
Huh.
And they gave it 5 stars.
Elite.
It is elite speak. And it says, best hacking movie ever, Hack the Planet.
I got one more for you. This is from Rod E.
Roddy Piper.
Not Roddy. Rod E.
My sunglasses allow me to hear things. Roddy Piper. 5 stars.
Is it Rod? Rod?
Rod Roddy? Yes, it's Rod Roddy.
From
Rod
Price is Right.
That's him, yes. He, 2013, a mere 12 years after his death, he wrote... he wrote, cyber crap. Yeah, Angelina Jolie is such a tough one, and Johnny Lee Miller is such a computer hacking rebel. He has perpetually been lambasted for his tech and hacking skills, but he will be tempted to shut down bad guy? Will the improbable connection of Miller's lone tech outcast and Jolie's tough girl gamer ever hook up? Hackers is movie spam. Purely, this movie blows on all levels, but I will give it a few soundtrack points. That scene where Jolie is playing video games is hilariously bad.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Those are the reviews.
We have explored this movie to its extent.
Those are the haikus, the hacker. I'll work on it. So that's it. That's Hackers. Before we go too much further here, Nathan, next week is the fifth Thursday of the month.
It is.
It's closing out our summer flopbusters. Now, I don't know that this was released in the summer, but it's very hard to tell with these small screen shamefuls.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the fifth Thursday of the month, this is a small screen shameful. So, I mean, I guess, give us a hint, even though we might probably not guess it.
Okay. I wish I was Red Dawn and the Breakfast Club at the same time.
All right. Well, there we go. That's what's coming up next week. A small screen shameful. Jason.
Jeez,
thank you.
Cat's losing thank
you.
Friggin' mind.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you having me on for this episode. I'm glad I could talk about this movie and hopefully get more people to see it because it's wonderful.
Before I do get you to plug, Jason,
yes,
because I understand you do have a podcast.
I do.
Let's bring in our old friend Montrose Monkington.
Okay, so I'll go get him here in a second. He's in the green room.
Okay.
Hello.
It's a good friend Montrose Munkington III here, and I would just like to invite all you people listening to tune in to Montrose Munkington TV. There hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff going on there, but in fairness, there hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff going on in the world. But you can tune in on YouTube, Montrose Munkington TV, or be friends with me on Facebook, in the Facebook group Montrose Munkington III Esquire and Friends, or you can also tweet at me at the Twitter at Montrose III. That's the number 3 D. Thank you. More later.
Wow.
Thank you, Jason, for the wow. I do appreciate it.
You're there's just something about you, Montrose. When I hear your voice, I'm speechless.
I feel like a broken monkey sometimes these days, though, Jason. The world is really getting Montrose down.
I get it. But you gotta keep your head down, Montrose. You gotta stay on course, and you will get through this because you are one funky monkey.
I feel that I need to keep calm and carry on.
That is a really good phrase. You should put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I feel it is in the Britishness of me for me to keep calm and carry on for me and also for my other expatriates like Johnny Lee Miller.
God bless you, Montrose.
The Queen.
And the Queen, absolutely. which is interesting because it turns out I am on a podcast that is about things the Queen might like.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. No, not that queen. The queen I'm speaking of is, of course, Elizabeth II.
Of course.
Queen of the empire that we are a part of, Loyal Subjects. And our podcast that I and a fellow named Brendan do is called For Screen and Country.
He sounds terrible.
Well, you know what you'd think, but it turns out it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
And we watched through. Yeah, we watched through the top 100 British films as established by the BFI in 1999. So if any of you have any interest in something a little more classy than this shit pile, check out our podcast. No, it's a good time.
He's right to say that, folks.
Brendan told me to say that because he wants to undersell Nathan.
What?
Yeah, he really wants to. He really wants to just. Right. Yeah. It's quite sad.
So it comes
but
out.
Check it out.
I see.
Check out our podcast. Written. It's on all the catchers.
God damn it. It's always a mistake to get you on, Jason.
I love drama.
Yeah, For Screen and Country. Check it out. I hear it's pretty good.
It is. You might like it, Brendan.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
All right.
I'm making that kind of commitment.
Wow. I had to listen to something? Gross. Well, there you have it. You can also find us all over social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at WWTT Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for What Were They Thinking. You can find our Facebook group, What Were They Thinking Interactive, where you can talk to us. You can tell us if we're wrong, tell us if we're right, suggest stuff, do whatever you want. It's a free country. You can also find us on all the podcatchers. Our home base is wwttpodcast.podbean.com. But you can also find us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff. And you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wwttpodcast. You have until the end of, I think, next month, I said. Yeah, next month. You have until the end of next month. If you sign up today, no matter what level you sign up for, you will get a Patreon pick. You can pick a movie that we will talk about on this program. So do that if you like. And yeah, I think that's it. Okay. We also have stuff on TeePublic and Redbubble if you're so inclined. And again, Jason, before we just go into the ending here, I just want to say thank you again for joining us. It was a delight.
Thank you for having me. I love this movie and I love you guys. Rock on.
Well, thank you very much.
Having said that, I do have questions.
Well, about this perfection? Come on. Yeah. Really?
I mean, let me just... Okay, hold on. I've got the question saved on my hard drive here. Just give me a second here, Nathan. Okay, my internet's just taking a while to boot up here. Just one second.
Hack the Brendan! Hack the Brendan! What were they thinking? Yeah.
You blocked me on Facebook, and now you're going to die. Now you're going to die. Facebook.